Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wild Wednesday, but only had a wild morning. Oh, we started off with Vivian and her socially conscious segment. Well, unfortunately, those COVID numbers are still going up. Well, that just might be due to the traveling, school is out, and people are moving around over the border. They had been so prayerfully, you know, just protect yourself. Protect yourself, protect yourself, okay? All right. Well, we also talked about the baby formula shortage and how, you know, we were promised a few months ago that things would be better, that they would be supporting, you know, baby formula from other countries and all that kind of stuff. And yes, they promised it, but one mom with a set of twins is having a whole lot of difficulties. Yeah, she can't seem to produce enough breast milk to feed both her babies. And she is going all over the place trying to find baby formula. Well, she's been blessed because there's a friend that can throw her a can or two and someone else who can throw her a can or two. And that's how she can get by. But as we know, I believe they're only 6 months. No, they got a little ways to go. So, I don't know. Let's keep everybody in prayer and formula. Okay? Well, you know, again, another update that Vivian had for us at one point. You know, we were talking about the child hunger here in the United States. Well, thanks be to God. You know, the schools, pools, and a couple of other different organizations will be feeding our children for our young people, 18 years and younger, breakfast and lunch. Yes, so that, you know, at least mom and dad can only, you know, have to worry about providing one primary meal a day. And we know that's going to come in handy for those who are really struggling, because as Pastor Kim talked about yesterday, what is up with the price of food? Yeah. You know, we talked about how Santis and I went to the supermarket, and I was just standing there in utter shock. Yeah, I don't hit the grocery store very often, you know. Thank God Santis goes, and, you know, when we go, I mainly go to get the meat. But that's all we ever seem to need in my house. But I have to tell you, you know, I'm glad my kids are grown. And they should buy their own food. Because if I had to feed a family of four, these days by myself, man, we'd all be paper thin. Yeah, so, you know, God is great as he has provided, you know, some relief for our parents who are responsible for feeding those children. Because, you know, I went to work. I had a coworker, I should say, a coworker who told me, I think there were seven of them. It was quite a bit. There were quite a bit of them when they were growing up. And her father, I believe, worked on the railroad, so he wasn't home a lot. And she was relatively a year or two younger than me, so we kind of came up in the same era. And she talked about how her mom didn't have much money, although the dad had a quote-unquote good job. But, you know, with the responsibility of having to feed all of them and pay mortgage and, you know, bills and things like that. And, you know, back then, excuse me, you really didn't make a lot of money. And she said most times they ate French fries and eggs. Yes. French fries and eggs is what they had. And they were just grateful to get the French fries and eggs. And, you know, our children kind of forced to eat, quote-unquote, French fries and eggs these days. Well, I'll tell you one thing. At the cost of a 2 dozen medium-sized eggs for $7, man, I don't know how many eggs people are going to be eating. Oh, my God. Everything has skyrocketed. And like I said, you know, when I heard that, you know, I was really happy because I believe there was a year or two where they weren't doing that. No, they've been doing, you know, lunch and breakfast for a minute now. I remember Shantice. I was pregnant with Shantice, and they were giving away free lunch to 18 years and older, but it wasn't breakfast. And in more recent years, you know, a couple of years, they didn't do it. But, you know, again, you know, we got to thank God for everything. Because if I could send my children or walk my children up to the school, you know, for breakfast and then lunch, and then all I got to do is whip out a good, hearty dinner and maybe a snack. Yeah. You know, God has designed a whole lot of things for us. And, you know, we have to give God thanks for all these little, you know, perks in life. You know, so I don't know how long that extra money, that pandemic, you know, snack, what we call it here in New York, or food stamps, you know, as they called years ago, you know, Pastor Kim said bridge card. So every day it could be very different, but at the end of the day, we're talking about food assistance, and you know, we don't know. You know, how long those benefits are going to last. And for those who are not eligible for those benefits, we don't know how, you know, they're making it. But we do know that this is one area where, you know, that could be a big help. So let's give God thanks. Well, we had the ladies on yesterday, and we talked about this whole Roe versus Wade, you know, thanks to Elder Natisha, who gave us a quick snapshot regarding, you know, just the origin and what they were fighting about and what the case, how the case started. You know, other people were able to get a better understanding of this entire Roe versus Wade. And the ladies, you know, they spoke, and some really good things came up yesterday, you know, where it needs to be pro-choice. Yes, because, you know, you don't really have, you know, the ability, well, not the ability, but you don't have the right to speak into everybody's life. You really don't. You know, who are you to tell someone who they should or who they shouldn't? You know, who should or who shouldn't? You know, we are Christian people, and, you know, we do, you know, believe in, you know, thou shalt not murder. But, you know, I can't speak for somebody else's situation, someone else's life. And that's really between them and God. And, you know, there was a suggestion that was made that, you know, there are some women who are repeat offenders, if you will, who continuously and continually just make it a habit because they know that, you know, that's something that they can go and do. And, you know, there was a suggestion yesterday that, you know, hey, why don't you just get yourself together and, you know, if you can't, you know, protect yourself or whatever, for whatever reason it is, or if you're too lazy or whatever it is, then, you know, they would offer you counseling opposed to just putting you up on this table and, you know, taking the money. And, you know, the same way they do for women who want to get their teeth cut. So I thought that was an excellent suggestion. And just some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things that was said. And really, again, as I always say, very thought-provoking. You know, you may not come in believing, you know, one thing, but you could definitely go out believing something different. And we give God thanks for the myriad of thoughts and ideas and concepts presented, and, you know, a lot of experiences are put on the table here, you know, when we're talking, and that the transparency is unbelievable. And I give God thanks that, you know, everybody's willing to open up, to save a life, to help to change a life. And, you know, this is a special group, special group. Wow, we could not finish a Wednesday without having our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte. A very good presentation, as always. And I really, really encourage you to go back and listen. Make sure you go back and listen, okay? And we had a good time here yesterday. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health, whether it's our emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever it is. Health, health, health is what we're talking about. So, I have something that I think you might be interested in. And, I don't know. What you think? I don't know. What you think? Well, today's the day we're going to get that talk on. And, boy, do we have some stories. Yes. Can't wait to be talking about that as well. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Patients who are undergoing cataract surgery have different needs and different expectations. And different levels of desire to be independent from eyeglasses, and we have different options for these patients. The premium distance package would include fine-tuning the lens power during surgery using wavefront aberrometry. It may include limbal relaxing incisions done by laser to treat astigmatism. It might include special lenses that correct astigmatism.
Oh, my goodness, I was talking to the mute button. I was doing all of that talking. Oh, my goodness. Well, good morning and good morning to you. Welcome back or welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Thursday, Therapeutic Thursday, where we talk about our health, where we talk about whether it's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever health we got to talk about, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. All right? So, you know, let's get to talking. You know, I said all that good stuff about how God brought us through and safely through another week. And here we are at Thursday already. And if you're sitting with me and you're safe and sound, man, we got a lot to be grateful for. Right? Right. Well, let's get this health thing going. You know, I started off with one list, and then I kind of shifted because I'm going through this, and maybe some of, you know, some of you who are part of the Due Time family are also experiencing this issue. We've got the surprising reasons you can't lose weight. Now, I do know that, you know, when I was in my 20s and my 30s and I tried to lose weight, I remember some of the eating regimens, even in my 40s, you know, some of the stuff that I did that, you know, helped me lose weight. And now, man, that stuff is not working. And I'm like, but I know it works. So your body is clearly, you know, shifting as you get older. And what worked yesterday may not work today. So I thought, you know, I saw this link attached to the other link, and I thought maybe we would appreciate this a little bit better this morning. I know for those of you who are on the thinner side of life, you know, it may not be too important to you, but just bear with those of us who are on the other side of the fence, okay? All right. Well, surprising reasons you are not losing weight, number one, and this is definitely true, your medications are an issue. Yes, they say roughly 75% of people over 50 take prescription drugs regularly, and, you know, of course, as you get older, it, you know, it will take an increase more than likely. And, you know, because of those medications, they may be affecting your weight. And that's why you can't, you know, lose weight. And they say that 10 to 15% of the obesity epidemic is related to drug-induced weight gain. And not only will it make it harder to lose weight, but if you look at some of the side effects, you know, I've had some doctors tell me, well, let me just let you know that one of the side effects is it'll make you gain weight. And I'm like, okay, then don't even bother giving me that, because that's counterproductive to just my life right now. I have to lose weight. If I don't lose weight, then this diabetes won't go anywhere, and this blood pressure will become an issue. And, yeah, so they're saying that, you know, there are some, even antihistamines contain a component which increases your appetite. It will slow muscle contractions, and therefore your weight loss will not be, you know, will not be successful. And, you know, definitely look at the side effects of your meds, because you definitely want to know if you're taking something that's going to help you gain weight opposed to helping you lose weight, okay? All right. Number two, you're losing muscle. They say if you don't make an effort to preserve muscle mass, you lose 3 to 8% per decade after the age of 30. Yes. And because muscle burns more calories than fat, your metabolic rate slows and you torch fewer calories. So they're saying age-related hormone loss in both men and women accelerates the decline. And you can slow both age-related and weight loss-related muscle with a strength training program. Aim for 3 days a week of strength training. Start with light handheld weights or resistance bands, or a few push-ups and crunches, and gradually add more weight, you know, to the weight, and keep that regimen going. That's the first time I heard about this muscle thing. Yeah, I never heard of that before. That's something new for Pastor Steph. All right, number three, one of the reasons why you're not losing weight. You're skipping on your protein. Well, them cupcakes and soda and all that kind of stuff has got to go. They say as people age, they often have more trouble digesting protein. So they eat less of it. And those who are dieting tend to cut back on protein. They say, which is the exact wrong thing to do. They say protein is a vital building block of healthy muscle tissue. And when you don't eat protein, now your weight loss slows. And I don't know who thought that not eating protein was something that would help you lose weight. No, they tell you to fill up your plate with greens and vegetables and, you know, protein and eat less starch, you know. So I don't know. I don't know who could have thought that. Okay. Here's another one that I know is correct. You're eating the wrong foods. That's number four. Why can't I lose weight? Because you're eating the wrong food, okay? Paleo, keto, low fat, regardless of the diet plan, it won't be effective if you're not eating nutritious food, okay? They say if you're on a low fat regimen that includes low fat fare like diet soda and white bread, you're going to struggle to lose weight. The same goes for low carb if you're eating bacon every day. So they're saying that some overweight participants that they did this study, regardless of the plan they were following, how to cut back on sugar, refined grains and highly processed foods, as well as how to load up on vegetables and nutrient-dense whole foods and stop eating when they were full, they all lost an average of 12 pounds. Yeah. So it's really important that you find the right foods. And listen, if you listen to his Due Time with Pastor Steph, you really have no excuse. Because we talk about this all the time. All the time. We talk about this all the time. You know, what we eat and the healthy foods that, you know, and we really don't have an excuse because I've been, you know, doing this for over a year. And, you know, that's why I was saying a little while ago that, you know I'm struggling because I'm not a big junk food eater, so I'm not necessarily eating the wrong food in that sense. But, you know, metabolism and, you know, your activity level and all of that stuff plays a part, you know, in your weight loss. So, you know, when you already are on the slow end of movement and, you know, your metabolism and stuff is slow and you're taking meds that will help you gain weight and things like that, then you've got to eat right because that's the only thing that's going to help you lose weight because you've got all those other things that's working against you. Alrighty? Number five, one of the reasons why you may not be losing weight, you're not pushing your pace. Just got finished talking about that. You know, going for that daily walk, is important. You know, they say get a coach. And, you know, here's the thing. Getting a coach does not mean you have to literally go out and pay somebody. You know, coach, somebody who's going to, Shanti talks about this a lot of times, somebody who's going to hold you accountable to, you know, what you're eating, what you're doing. That's all a coach, you know, has to really do is kind of encourage you to do the right thing, point you in the right direction, and hold you accountable for what you're doing or not doing. All right? So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you can't. So, I'm going to have to go back to, you know, doing more physical regimen. You know, I was one time working with the Wii and doing some Just Dance movements, or I found my Michael Jackson Wii game. Oh, my goodness. Thanks to Serge pulling out his Wii game. I was doing that at one point, and I stopped, and I'm going to have to go back to that because this thing here is really not going too well. What else? You're eating too much at night. Number six, you're eating too much at night. They say research shows that people who eat after dinner consume an average of 208 more calories than those who don't. And think about it. That's per day. So put that times seven. That's 1,400 extra calories. Because if you look at the calories of what this food, man, I pulled up something the other day and I got ready to put it in my mouth. And when I saw the calories, I was like, oh, I can forget this. You know, stop eating early. Stop eating early. They say people who stop eating at 7 p.m., they pit those against people who stop eating at 11. And they say those who stop eating earlier burn more fat and had lower cholesterol and blood sugar. And, yes, that is absolutely right. And I also said, you know, I was going to start just walking, you know, even later. Get up early, take a little walk, and get up and later and take a little walk now. That's a joke, but I'm going to try it. Because, see, once I walk early in the day, oh, that does it for me. I'm sore and I'm hurting and... And I'm talking about even like 15 minutes. Yesterday, I was in here and I was, you know, just cleaning up, just straightening up. And, you know, I have to do it periodically. So I get up and I do a little bit of this. And I go sit down and I get up and I do a little bit of this. That's the way I have to do it. And by the time I got finished, when I told you I couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom, my body was killing me. And I was like, but you didn't do anything. So, you know, we have, based on your own personal, you know, body and what you eat and what you can handle, you know, you have to learn to work with it. So I got to figure out something. You know, I got to figure out something. So those are the reasons why you could not be losing weight. And I'll go over it again. Your medications are an issue. You're losing muscle. You're skipping on protein. You're eating the wrong food. You're not pushing your pace, and you're eating too much at night. Now, that's something that I have, you know, pretty much gotten under control. Maybe one or two nights during the week, in the last couple of weeks, I've pushed past my time. But for the most part, I'm pretty good. Excuse me. Thank you. You know, so, come on, let's work this thing together. We got to do a little bit of exercise. We got to do a little bit of movement. You cannot stay still. You can't. If you do, you're doomed. You're doomed. And I can't go down like that. All right? So what are we talking about today? Let's see what this news is talking about today. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I got a couple of good ones here. So, the family of Emmett Till, they demand arrest of the female accuser now after recovering a 1955 warrant. Woo! So we all know the story of Emmett Till, you know, a little 14-year-old black boy who was abducted, tortured, and lynched in Mississippi back in 1955, you know, after this Carolyn Bryant at the time accused him of making improper advances at her, and her husband went and got, you know, someone else, and they, his half-brother, they kidnapped him, and they beat him, shot him, and tossed his body in the river. And I don't know where they get this lynching part from, because every time I read it, I never read of a lynching portion, but be that as it may, you know, and, you know, he really suffered, you know, for that accusation. And so did Mom, you know, who ended up having an open casket funeral service, you know, to really prove that this is what, you know, these people are doing, you know, were doing at that time. Well, they said when they were doing some research, some digging for evidence. Now, I don't know why they're digging for evidence, but they came across a warrant for her arrest. And they said that they didn't want to bother her since she was the mother of two young children. Now, man, here we are 70 years later, and now they want her served. And she's in her 80s and living in North Carolina. Now, let's talk about this thing for a minute. I said, well, I thought she was dead. Because, you know, not too long ago, she admitted, she confessed to, you know, what she said was a lie. I do remember that. But that's what I heard. Somebody said she died not too long after. But, well, that's what you get for listening. Because she's definitely not dead. She's in her 80s. And, you know, some are saying that, you know, the warrants do have a statute of limitation. Some warrants. And they may not get, you know, the attention and the result that they're looking for. Well, here's my thing. Are they really going to go and arrest this woman at 80 years old in North Carolina? It's not like she's living up here in New York, Chicago, you know, Detroit, you know, one of these different type of city, you know, places. No, she's living in North Carolina. She's probably living still in the same place, you know, or location that's very, very, very racist. And they not let nobody arrest her. They don't care what kind of warrant, especially something that you're looking at that's over, you know, 50 years old. They're not doing all that. I seriously doubt that they're going to get the justice that they're looking for. Would it be nice? Would it be a slam dunk? Would it be quote-unquote justice? Absolutely. But I doubt it. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. I don't think it's going to go down. So, you know, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Well, one of the things that we can celebrate is the Tony's Law. Yes, yes, yes. As of now, there is a law called the Tony's Law, and it opens up the door for child abusers to face life in prison. And this was named after little 7-year-old Tony Hudson lost both his legs after being tortured by his parents. Now, this is a really, really sick story, and they paired it with other, like, really gruesome and heartless stories of people who mistreated children and infants. Yeah, and they're really going after this because all of the stories that they cited, they really, really, really were brutal. Oh, my gosh. Now, you should see the way this little boy is walking from having his legs amputated. Yes. He, oh my gosh, back in 2018 or 2017, his parents were sent to prison for 10 years because they brutalized his, you know, his body when he was just a baby. And they said he was only 41 days old with multiple organ failure, numerous fractures and sepsis following the abuse by his parents. So the parents, the couple who adopted him, they have been campaigning for longer sentences for child abusers. And they raised like over $1 million for this children's hospital in London. And what happens is, under the Tony's Law, anyone who causes or allows, woo, slam dunk, the death of a child or vulnerable adult in their care will face up to life imprisonment rather than the current 14-year maximum. Now, we always talk about, does the punishment fit the crime? Well, I really say slam dunk here. You have to pull up this little boy. Now, let me spell the name so you can, you don't have to do it right now, but I want you to see why I say this is really a slam dunk. His name, Tony Hudgel, and that's H-U-D-G-E-L-L. Okay? Pull it up and look at this little boy, how he's walking because he doesn't, you know, his legs were amputated because of all that abuse he was subjected to, and he walks with, you know, one of those two little crutches, and he has prosthetic legs, and, you know, who does this to children? And now you only get the maximum of 14 years? Well, they cited quite a few other stories. They say that in addition to the other stories that I'm going to talk about, they say that when Tony's father went to prison, and this is for Brother Al. This is for Brother Al. This is for Pastor Charlotte. And this is for Pastor KL. They say that when his father went to jail, he was held hostage in his cell and tortured by two fellow inmates. He was tied up and had 12 teeth knocked out during the attack. And here's what we always talk about. They say that the attackers both had their jail terms extended, and they didn't care, because they were probably long-termers anyway, or lifers, and, you know, more than like long-termers. But remember, we've always heard that when you go to jail and you have been accused of doing something to children, the criminals don't like that. So, Brother Al, especially you, because, you know, you're always talking about Big Bertha and Pastor Charlotte, Big Bertha, and all these, you know, Bubba's and all this. Yeah, well, Bubba got to him. Sorry, two Bubba's got to him. He's knocked out and everything. So I guess they said, we're going to give you a taste of your own medicine. They say that their 6-year-old Arthur was murdered in 2020 by his stepmother. And she was jailed for life with a minimum sentence of 29 years, while Lil Arthur's father was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 21 years. And when they went to court, they talked about 130 bruises were found on Arthur's body after his death. He was subjected to salt poisoning and deprived of food and drink by the couple. He suffered an unsurvivable brain injury in his stepmother's care. So see, here we go. Remember now, the new law is for the ones who stand by, and that's one of the reasons why his dad got the 21 years, because, you know, those are the ones who stand by, and this law, Tony's law, is inclusive of that as well. They talk about little Star Hobson was 16 months old when she was murdered by her mother's girlfriend in 2020, and they said, oh, Jesus, I couldn't get this one last night. A court heard that the fatal punch or kick which killed Star was delivered with the force of a car crash. She had other injuries, including a fractured skull and ankle. Her mother was found guilty of causing or allowing Star's death and was sentenced to 8 years in prison, and later on appeal was increased to 12 years. So this is one of the reasons, these are some of the additional reasons why Tony's law was really put into effect. So I say, yes, God. Yes, 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 yes. Because the stuff we've been reading, it's abominable. It is abominable. So what else do we have really quickly so we can get to our little Dutop crew? So we have a sad story of 21 youth in a South Africa tavern were all found dead. And they are believing that they all died from poisoning from a gas leak. And they say this particular night spot was very poorly insulated, and really was like a recipe for disaster. One of the youngest was 13 years old, and there were a couple of survivors, and they were taken to the hospital unharmed, but 21 died in this this real tragic occurrence. And, you know, they say they have not really put out a whole lot of information because they are believing that it was a gas leak that killed them, but they want to make sure that it's really no foul play. So they're kind of holding back some of their information. So, you know, as that goes on, I will continue to keep everybody posted. So, let's say good morning to our D-Time crew. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. How are you?
I am well, too.
Good. Very good. So we got a couple of stories to talk about before we get into our main conversation. And one of the first things we're talking about is this Emmett Till issue, where they found in their search for more evidence, they found a warrant for this woman's arrest. And they're demanding that, you know what, y'all didn't do it back then, but y'all need to do this now. Because if you didn't serve her with this warrant back then that means that she's still guilty. She still should be served. But they're saying that, you know, there may be a statute of limitations, and for this warrant to be over 50 years old, that very well may be the case. But my thought is, and you can tell me whether you feel this way, that being 80 years old and still in North Carolina, because she ain't moved too far from where she was, if she did move, you know, when this whole Emmett Till thing jumped off, they're not gonna get no justice right now. What do you think?
I think that I'm like on the fence of that, because if it's us, they'll still come after us. And if it's, you know, she's on the other side, they might forget it. So it depending on who's sitting in that seat that can have that control of how they feel. Because sometimes they go by their feelings. Well, you know, today, or I don't feel like it, and maybe tomorrow we will. So it varies. Because she down south and she's never moved anywhere, you know, they might can get her. So I'm on the fence with that one. Because you never know. You never know. You know, because, like, sometimes people think they can get away with it, you know, years and went on, and next thing you know, they tapping on your door. Like the IRS. Okay. Thought you got away, and here they come.
Okay. All right, I hear you. You might be right. You know, they may not, you know, do anything to her at all, they may. You know, so you may be right. All right, so we have this Coney's Law. Did we get a slam dunk or not?
Yes. Yes. I am so glad that they are going to do something about it. About time.
All right. You know, you and Brother Aloe were talking about Big Bubba and all of them stepping in on his behalf. And here we go. You know, the father went to jail and they kidnapped him in his little cell, tied him up, beat him up, knocked some of his teeth out. Now, Pastor Charlotte, that's a beating when they can knock teeth out. Because I'd have been to the dentist where he's yanking and pulling and he got the pliers on that tooth, and that bad boy would not come out. So you know you didn't took a beating for some of your teeth to be knocked out. So your Brother Al definitely should be cheering. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Talking about, you know, just give them what's of their own medicine. So definitely you got that now.
That's right. And you know what else? He lucky that's all he got, because it could have been worse. Though you said those kids, you know, they insides be messed up. That could have happened to you. You know, a little bit of everything could have been on inside you. So,
you know,
you better take that little bit.
You're right, because it has happened. So, you know, so your little, right, so your little teeth coming out is on the lighter side of the earth. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlotte. We'll be back to talk. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. And may I say, Big Bubba lives. That's how we get about it. So Big Bubba lives.
This is how
we do. Oh, and then let me go ahead and start off with my quote. And my quote this morning is something that I've used, that I say to my children. So this is from me. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
All right, now I'll stamp that one. Bam! Big stamp. Good one this morning, Brother Al. Good one this morning. Stop talking about it and be about it. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. So let's start with the Emmett Till issue of, you know, they found this warrant as they were digging through some rubble, I call it, and they're saying that, you know, they were looking for evidence, and finding this warrant for this woman's arrest is actually evidence. You know, it shows that something went wrong years ago and y'all wanted to arrest her. So it was never served because they didn't want to bother her because she was the mother of two young children. So, you know, now they're demanding that she get arrested. What do you think the odds are that at 80 years old, still living in North Carolina, that she will be arrested?
Oh, the odds are very, very slim. And, you know, it's so sad, and I keep telling people, especially us of color, open your eyes and just look how things are going. You know, here they came 100 years later and arrest Bill Cosby. But the odds of her getting arrested is very, very slim. You know, when she first said that she lied about the situation, she should have been arrested right then and there. But they let that roll. You know, they let that roll. And we have to open our eyes and see that we're living in an unjust system. You know, she should be arrested. This young, that, you know, I read the story on that. I watched the video. I showed the kids the video. And people who haven't seen this video, this documentary, you don't understand the seriousness of what happened to this young man. He was tortured because this woman lied and said he whistled at her. You know, and it's sad, but I think the chances are very slim of her getting arrested.
And I agree with you absolutely. You know, we'll talk about it. You know, we've been following the story of R. Kelly. We've talked about Bill Cosby, and which was, you know, a good reference. You know, he's old, he's beat up, and, you know, he was serving from something that happened back in 1975. So,
right.
Excuse me. So,
bless you.
Clearly, thank you. Clearly, you know, if they want you, they're going to come for you. And, you know, they hesitate with him. They hesitate with R. Kelly because I read, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But, you know, there were some that said, you know, no matter how long it's been, we're going to get him. Yeah, that's us. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
That, like you said, that is us. But, nah, 80 years old, see, because back then, Al, they were saying that she had two young children. Now they'll be saying she's too old. See, it'll be another excuse. It'll be another excuse. So
I think
you know, no, they, I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But as Pastor Charlotte said, you know, she's on the fence. Maybe they will. They may, because they may want to prove a point.
I hope they will.
Yeah, maybe this will be one of them times, Brother Al, where they want to prove a point and they'll go after her. They'll go after her. And maybe, you know, and maybe because of the Bill Cosby type issue where they were, you know, determined to get him, that might put a little pressure, and the climate that we're in, it might put a little pressure on them to arrest her. But I don't know. I think she will somehow slip through the cracks. We'll see, because I'm definitely going to follow this story. We're talking about the Tony's Law, Brother Al, who loves the kids. Oh, is this a slam dunk or what?
Yes, indeed. I heard about the story. I bet you I did a backflip. It hurt my dog on me. But, yes, that was a slam dunk. That was a slam dunk, because these kids need to be protected. You know, you got these parents just getting away with doing things to these kids. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, put the kid up for adoption or something instead of just, you know, you just got to be evil. Kids are so lovable when they small now. When they get a little older, we might have to put the foot down. But I look at these little kids, you know, when I'm working with the younger kids, and they just so adorable. And I'm just like, how could you rape this kid? How could you harm this little innocent kid? That's what irks me. So I am so glad that they put that through.
Me too. Now, yesterday, you know, a very rare occasion in this house, we were looking at, the news came on. You know, one of the things on the DVR stopped and the news came on, and they were talking about this mother and this little girl who had been beaten to death. And then sexually assaulted while she was dying. Mm. And it was by her half-brother. Mm-hmm. And they showed the mother, and I'm sure those of you who look at the news, they showed them bringing the mom out of the precinct, arrested, and she's running her mouth to the cameras. And I could throw a brick at her. And I'm like, what do you have to say? Because they were arresting her and the half-brother. You need to be arrested, because if you don't stop it, and I think, what was she like? She was a little girl. And when her face came up on the picture, on the screen, and this is why I'm saying it, because I'm talking about what you just said. I was like, me and Shantice was like, oh, look at the little face. She had little missing teeth in the front, and they showed another one where she was like on a slide or something like that. And like you said, they're so adorable. It's like, how do you do this to these children? And I hope to God she falls behind this Tony's law, because 14 years maximum, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. They really need to make sure that she and this half-brother of this little girl fall behind that Tony's law, because they deserve it. They both deserve it. When you allow it, you might as well have picked up the gun and shot it yourself. So
that's right. How did they say how old the brother was?
Oh, Shantice, you can hit me up if you can remember. I don't know, but he was older than 18. I do know that. Yeah, he was older. Older than 18. I don't think he was a kid. I don't think he was a kid. I believe he was an adult. And
Bubba going to see him too.
Yeah, Shanti said 18. Yeah, because he going in with the big boys. Yep.
Oh, yeah, Bubba going to see him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but you should have seen the little face. And I'm like, how do you do this? You know, when I was reading you all the different instances of the babies a minute ago, they had the children along with the accuser. And I was like, look at the face. How do you do this to these children? You know, it's you know, sometimes God's allowance is something else. It's something else. So I thought you and Pastor Charlene would really pull out your pom-poms, you know, to you know, not, and then again, not intentionally, but, you know, figuratively, you know, just like, wow, okay, you know what? You get a taste of your own medicine, and that's what happens sometimes. You know, things like that go on. So thank you for joining us this morning, Brother Al. We'll definitely be back to talk, because today is the talking day. We've got a talking time going on. All right. Let's say good morning to our girl, Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm thanking God that I'm doing okay. Thanks. Y'all going to have to excuse me because I'm all stuffed up and the pause every now and then. But I'm well, thank you, in all things going on. Emmett Till, you look at the movies that they got, you know, that they put on Netflix, I believe, or
that's
Prime or somebody.
On Hulu.
Hulu. Okay, thank you. And now I don't know what you saw. But, you know, based on what you saw and knowing the story, you know, what do you think about them now going back and grabbing up this 80-year-old woman in North Carolina? You know, I agree with Brother Al, who said when she confessed, y'all let her confess, and now she's sitting up with her legs crossed, chilling. Now she feels her conscience is clear. I got that out. You know, they know that, you know, I feel better now. Would getting this with this arrest at 80 years old, in your opinion, be, you know, something that would be a good thing?
I don't see the point in it being brought up if nothing is going to happen. What's the point in letting us know that you were investigating? Because then my question, I have a few questions, like, what were you investigating? And then what was the warrant for? Was it something unrelated, or was it, because I do know, even from, you know, things I have read and saw years ago, that the truth only came out because a reporter, for whatever reason, was digging. And they got to the point where the guys who actually killed Emmett Till, they were able to tell the truth without being charged, like almost kind of like a double jeopardy thing, but not really, because double jeopardy is when you've actually been charged for the crime and you've served time for it. So if I was charged for killing Nick. But I really didn't kill Nick, but I served time for it. If I got out and then killed Nick, you can't lock me up for that because you claim I did that already. So it wasn't necessarily a double jeopardy. But they were, I forgot the word that they used, but they were able to give their full story as to what really happened and admit that they did kill Emmett Till. So I don't know if that was the time when she really admitted that she lied, because I didn't realize that it actually went further than her just claiming he whistled at her. When they got to court, she lied and said that he came up and put his hand on her hip and all this kind of stuff. So it was actually deeper than what we knew initially. But my thing is, if you're not going to do anything about it, then you might as well shut up and not even tell us that you found any warrant or anything. Now it's almost like you have to do something about it, especially with the scene, how you went after Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and whomever else of color. It's almost like you got to do something now.
Well, now, remember now, so here's how the story goes. They were, for some reason, digging, looking for evidence toward this case. Now, I don't know why they were looking for evidence. This is how the story goes. So it says relatives and members of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation were searching a Mississippi courthouse basement for evidence in the notorious murder when they found the 1955 warrant for Carolyn Bryan Dunham last week. So this is the family who's been digging. They find this warrant, and now they're saying, all right, well, what happened? When they went to find out why she wasn't served, they say that, yes, they did. They admitted that they had the warrant, but they said that they did not want to. They said the LaFleur County Sheriff had told reporters that he didn't want to bother the woman since she was the mother of two young children. So now they're saying, well, considering that she confessed and considering that we've got this warrant for her arrest that was never served, now we've got enough for her to be served, arrested, and tried. So that's why I say, I don't think without them being pressed because of all this other stuff that's gone on, they're not bothering this woman.
The family is going to I don't know if the sheriff is still alive, but the family is also going to have to go after everyone who dropped the ball all those years ago, because you're absolutely right. If they didn't bother to arrest her then, or pursue that warrant then, why would they pursue it now? So it's like, now I got to go after everyone in connection with this warrant, including her, because y'all didn't want to go after her because she had two kids, but y'all went and killed this boy, and y'all didn't want, it's just, people are twisted.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot to take in. And yes, I agree with you. You need to go pursue every single individual. That should be against the law and chargeable that you did not follow through with a warrant. It doesn't matter what she was doing or who she was. A warrant is a warrant. There's no contingency on, you know, what they doing, or she was in class at the time. Stop. It's just too much. It's too much. So we're going to follow this story. We're going to see how it goes. And hopefully we'll hear some real justice take place. So we've got a slam dunk, I would say. What would you say for this Tony's Law that mandates that this is a life sentence with the minimum of a 29-year, let me make sure I got this right, 29-year minimum that they serve, not this 14-year maximum that they're currently under?
I think it's amazing. It finally holds everyone connected in accountability. And really quick, Pastor Steph, you brought up the story that we saw yesterday on the news, and I forgot, you know, they said that this was pretty much almost like a year-old case that this happened last August.
Yes.
So the brother was 17 at the time, and he says that he told investigators that he beat his sister because he thought she took his snacks.
What?
And
wow.
It seems as though, like we saw yesterday, that the mom just sat by and watched her son do this, or knew that her son was doing this to the daughter, and it was just like, okay,
wow.
I don't know. But my thing is, I mean, it's bad enough that you would do that to your sibling and then your younger sibling at that. But how you get to the point where you now sexually abuse her? What kind of snacks were these that you were just so traumatized?
Yeah.
That
clearly
beating her wasn't bad enough, but now I'm going to sexually abuse. So this here, I love it because it holds everyone on this side of the fence, on that side of the fence, on whatever side of the fence. It holds everyone accountable.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't in the home, if my mom came home and knew that this happened and didn't do anything about it, I now go down for it. And I love it because too many people have turned a blind eye to this, and they've gotten off because they weren't the one who actually physically did something. And it's like,
no.
They all did that.
I agree with you. And you know, this is sweet. This is sweet. And we don't get to see much of this. And you know, giving God thanks for every little tick mark that goes down. So, no, I agree with you 100%. You know, I believe that with this sexual assault addition, that was something he had on his mind all along.
Mm-hmm.
And an opportunity to get it done. That wasn't no new thing for him. So,
right.
Yeah, that's right. It was unrelated to the beating. It was unrelated to the snacks. It was just something that he wanted to do. The opportunity presented itself, and lo and behold, that's what he did. So, thank God. I'm really hoping, like I said earlier, like you said, the mother stood around and did nothing. I'm really hoping that now he falls underneath, the two of them fall underneath this Tony's Law. So,
yep.
And thank God, Lord, he isn't gone. He looks so happy, you know, with his little crutches and prosthetic legs, and they're so innocent, you know, they don't complain like grown people do, and you know, they just make do with life, and you know, and I'm glad that he's living to see, you know, this Tony's Law, because like the little girl. Where they passed the law from the woman who was driving on the Taconic drunk and killed all those children in the car, and her brother pursued the law passing that, you know, if you were caught in the car with children and you had been drinking, you were going down. And
right.
She didn't live. She's not here. She died. You know, he did that, that was done after, you know, her death. But here, Tony is still living. So when God spares his life, if he gets older, he gets to see that something came from his, you know, his abuse. You know, it's really something that he would be able to be aware of. So, thanks for joining us today. We got ripped from the headlines. And I got some doozies. I got some doozies for us today. Well, we're going to start off with this story that I saw. And I thought it was really interesting because there were a lot of components that were thrown in here, because this was put into a post where people were, you know, people give their feedback. You know, there are certain sites that people, you know, am I the a-hole? They have other sites where, you know, people put in their dilemma, and, you know, people, TikTok has a feature like this. So, you know, quite a few of these different sites and things like that. So there's this Asian site that, you know, that posted this story, and the people weighed in on it. And it says that this Chinese father reportedly tutored his son daily for a year, and he only got 6 out of 100 points on the math test. So when he brought home the results from the math test, the father broke down in tears. And he says, I don't care anymore. My efforts are wasted. Let him struggle by himself. And they say, you know, in this video that went viral, he can be seen crying in the bathroom and wiping his eyes while his wife was laughing in the background. And the story goes, he tutored his son until midnight every day for the past year. His disappointment stems from his son's inconsistent test results. The child's score ranged from 40 to 50 points to 80, 90 points in previous exams, according to the mother. And they said that, you know, he was upset because each and every day when the boy came home, he settled in and he spent time up to the time it was midnight, and then he could go to bed studying for this test. And for him to get 6 correct out of 100 is what broke his heart, and he felt like, I'm throwing in the towel. So, you know, what's your thought, Pastor Charlotte? Because they do have some comments here, and I'm going to read the comments, and I want to see if you all kind of think of the same thing these people thought of.
Well, my thing is that it could be, first of all, that was too much all day, you know, every day. And maybe it could be two ways. It could be where that the child was rebellious, could have been that way, and it could have been where that the child needed some special help, not from the parent, where that they was able to go out and get extra help, meaning that the child might have had an issue, you know, of learning. It could have been that as well. So that's what I thought of, for him just to get 6 out of 100. It could be that he just have a mental blockage. I think that's what they call it.
Okay. Brother Al, what's your thought?
Oh, yeah. I honestly think he overstudied the kid. You know, when there's these big tests coming up, it's good for the kid to study and go over it. But you got to get that kid some time in there to maybe play a video game, to do something, and then come back to studying. So I think that he overstudied the child. And then, you know, the child might have just came in and went blank. I've done that where I was, you know, going to school, and I study, okay, I got it, and get to the test and go blank. Like, oh, shoot, I know this. What the heck? You know what I'm saying? Because now you're looking at math. This is not a multiple choice. You know, multiple choice, I see it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember that. This is math where you got to work out these problems. So, and then again, how are you teaching? How was your skill level on teaching them? You know, just because you think you taught him correctly and you knew it, you didn't. You know, so those are the thoughts I had on that.
Okay. Shanti.
Well, considering math is a big reason why I dropped out all 3 times of college, it's really, it weighs really heavy on you to know that you're deficient in this area, and when you put in a lot of your effort and you're still not getting it, it's very, very discouraging in itself. So now to get outside help, whether it's from your parent or whomever, and you still don't get it, it's very frustrating, you know, and it's almost like, I don't care how you feel, I'm the one that got to take this test. I'm the one that has to, you know, if I fail, then this is a, like, directly, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect you, but it's directly really affecting me and how I move forward academically. Now, with the parent, now I know I didn't have some traumatization with my parent helping me with some homework, and I'm like, I'm about to drop, I'm 2 minutes from dropping out of elementary if you try to help me with my homework again. So I don't know what his tactics were. I don't know if the you know, if the son was a little traumatized, you know, with the father's help, but, you know, I really don't agree with how you just described, how they just described his, you know, attitude to be afterwards, because now that the child is seeing that, you know, the child, so it's like almost like, well, do you feel like I'm stupid? You know, it's you really have to be careful with that. But that it's like, who was taking the test, the parent or the child?
Okay, well, I want to say that some of your, you know, your answers matched the people who commented. They said teaching the child in the middle of the night every day, but the child needs a lot of rest to have a good mental state and perform well. So that's what, you know, that's what you all said. And one of the other comments was, the more stressed my daughter was when she was a child, the more unable her brain was to think. So she would, you know, be fine to just let her play and just, like you all said, kind of scale back on, you know, just too much for him. And, you know, one says, unfortunately, after working as a tutor over a certain amount of years, the kids get burnt out by age 10, you know, and so those of, you know, so your answers were very much in tune, you know, for the three of you, it with what the people said. It was just too much, you know, sometimes you're over, at 12 o'clock, how much rest was he getting, you know? So that was interesting. All right, rip from the headlines. Mom enraged by ex-husband's ridiculous vacation request. So, here's how this goes. She says, I have a son who's 13 and with my ex-husband. And we got divorced because he was having an emotional affair that ended up with a kid. And she says, my son goes over to his house on weekends. And sometimes his kid comes over to my house because my son and him are somewhat friends, and I don't really mind. I'm planning on taking my son to Disney, as this is something that I've been planning to do because I want him to have this experience at least once in his life. Well, I believe my son must have told his half-brother because my ex-husband called me and asked me what day was I planning to leave and am I driving or him? So she said, I was confused initially, but I realized that he was talking about what he was talking about and told him that it was just going to be me and the son who was taking the trip. Well, my ex-husband insisted that it was wrong for me to exclude his son. He started to get mad and accused me of favoring my son over his half-sibling and trying to be petty for his past actions and such, and told me I should have at least offered for his son to go too. I told him I wasn't going to pay for another plane ticket or supplies, and if he wanted his son to go, he needed to pay for himself, and I hung up. Now, my son says that his dad was disappointed about my decision. I'm going to try to change. I should change my mind so his half-sibling could have fun, too, and some other stuff the little boy said. Now, I want to know how you weigh in on this one. Brother Al, say you.
Well, you know I love the kids, so it ain't fair. But for me, And I've been in a similar situation with my oldest son's mother, where she had a daughter from a previous relationship. And, you know, the siblings are close. So, you know, when I would go buy something or bring something for my son, I would bring something for her too. I wasn't doing it at first, but then I noticed, like, the look on her face when I would bring my son something. And she, you know, she wouldn't say nothing, but, you know, a look got a thousand words. I'm like, wow, I could at least bring her a little something. But I think what should have happened, being that she knew that the siblings was close, I think she should have mentioned, hey, listen, I'm taking little Johnny to Disney World, and, you know, they closed. Do you have some money where you can pay, and I'll just take both of them? I think she should have kind of offered that because they, you know, they close. They, you know, the two siblings are close. As you can see, he comes to the house, they play. So I would have offered, hey, listen, I'm going to Disney. You got some money to let little Cameron go, you know, and I'll take them both. So that's how I feel on that
one. Okay. Hey, Sean Teese, I hear you snickering in the background.
What brand of drugs are these people on? Wait, you cheated on me. Which I don't understand this emotional cheating that produced a kid. I don't know what that means, but whatever. You cheated on me and had a child. Jesus has already moved in me to where your child that you produced while cheating on me has been at my house for whatever the reason, whether it was to be with our son or whatever. That's already a mighty move of Jesus. I now am taking my son on a trip. I don't need to ask anyone outside of talking to you respectfully as the father, even without me wanting any money from you. But, you know, I'm taking him on a trip just to let you know, blah, blah, blah. You then go get high and tell me you feel some kind of way because the child you produced while cheating on me was not invited. And when you said it out loud, it still made sense to you? Absolutely not. She's better than me because I wouldn't have given no explanation. He'd have been talking to dial tone the whole time. Because once I heard, oh, well, you should take such and such and such, I just hung up. The audacity. But it's like people don't realize, like, for her to even still welcome that child in any way shows a great level of maturity on her part. She's not obligated to do anything. Would it be nice or would it show, you know, another side, you know, her traits and characteristics she has? Absolutely. But she's not obligated to take your child to the corner store. This is your child. You and his mother take that child wherever. That is so bugged out. Wow.
All
the
right.
Shanties, I haven't raised you that way.
Listen. I'm mad like it was me. That's crazy.
All right. Pastor Charlotte, what you say?
Well, my husband, first husband, had a baby when we was married, and I am not and was not going to take his son when I had and take my son. So my answer is no. This is me and my child one-on-one. This is me and my child, my money, and I can do what I want to do. It's different if you are, for whatever reason, the child is living in a home, and is both of them are your, or they both are your sons, and you wanted to take them together. But on my end, no, I'm not doing that. This is my time with my child, my plan that I had with him, and I'm not even going to take his little friends. It'll be just me and you. This is our time, And when you have children, you have to make that time where you do one-on-ones. If you have multiple children, you have to make a time. I'm not saying that, you know, going away without all your children, but you have to make that time where it's just one-on-one so they can know that they are feeling important, they're first, just like everybody else. Everybody gets a turn. So, no, I would not take the other child. No, I don't. I will let you know that we're going away. Now, it's up to you. Now, you can make this choice, if you choose to, that you buy your ticket and buy your son's ticket, and we see you, but that don't mean there, but that don't mean that we're going to do everything together. So you have an option if you choose to do that. But I'm not taking anybody's kid. Might not have wanted to take my own. But
oh, my goodness. All right, now. Here we go. I love my husband. Rip on that line. I love my husband, but I'm getting tired of being a second-class citizen in my home. It started when we bought a van from a friend of mine. We talked about different things we could do with it, fix it up a little and sell it or use it for vacation. But somewhere along the line, it was suggested that we let my ex, Paul, buy it from us because he's homeless and chooses to let everyone else take care of him. The van is now fixed. Paul lost his job and is now living in the van. In my driveway. The problem is he doesn't stay in the van. He crashes on my couch, uses my electricity, water, etc., and now eats my food. I told my husband this is not healthy for my mental well-being. My husband and I own our business, and Paul has now become involved in that too. My husband says he can use the help, and it gives Paul money to move. The only problem with that is my ex doesn't use the money for bills. He blows it on junk he doesn't need. I'm tired of raising a 41-year-old grown man. Shanti, what we talking about here?
Now, I know I get teased a lot for my exes being cool. But ain't no way I'm living with my husband. And my ex is, see, it was already a stretch for you to get the vehicle. Whether you and my husband cool or not, that's already a stretch. So I see people be pushing. Now you in my house freeloading, and now I'm uncomfortable, but y'all in here boom cool. How about everybody find themselves on the other side of this locked door, and y'all go live in this van together? So my mental state stays intact. So we can stick with the switch tip that says keep your godly sanity. Both of y'all going to end up living in this van together. That makes absolutely no sense. Why you, as the man of the house, regardless of who he is, you know, whether it's her ex or not, if it could have been her family, your family, why do you feel comfortable just having another man in your home like that? And then let's just compound it with the fact that this is her ex. You, for whatever reason, are helping him out, and you see that he's not taking the help. He's just using it as another opportunity to freeload. I don't understand how this works. That's stuff. The brand of drugs is real nowadays.
Oh, my goodness. Pastor Charlotte, what you got?
Nope. I don't care how y'all became friends, but no, you're not living in my house. No, you're not taking a shower. And you out there in my driveway, one day the tow truck will come and take you for a ride. Everybody gotta go. Because I look at it as flipping it around the other way. It could be his ex. And she living out there, and she coming in the house. Nah, we're going to stop the buck at the beginning. Y'all want to be cool, y'all be cool on the job, but y'all ain't going to be cool up in my house. I don't do that. When it's over, it's over. You got to find your way, grown man.
All right, all right. Brother Al. What you got to say about this dilemma here?
Ooh, where you get these stories from? I agree with that. You know, first of all, I'm not trying to be besties with your ex. Okay, that's your ex. You know, I met him. Hey, how you doing? Whatever. You definitely ain't staying in my house. All right. As far as the van, you're not doing that either. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what he's thinking. You know, it makes me start questioning the husband. Why are you so close with this guy? You like him or something? Something. No, all this stuff starting to add up, and I don't need a calculator to add. Okay? So, no, you're not staying in my house. No. N-O. You know what I'm saying? To the point, no. So I don't know what the heck going on there. But, nah, you ain't staying in my house. You ain't staying in my van. And I'm only going to tell you one time. That's it.
All righty. Unanimous. All right. Rip from that line. I have several creative friends who have either written a book or made a music CD. I get asked to read or listen to these creations and submit an online review. The book was written about a very rough divorce, and my friend described her ex using some gossipy and awful information that I knew was not true. She placed all the blame on her ex when it was she who committed adultery, a fact she conveniently left out of the book. The music CD was not my liking either. My friend cannot sing. How do I handle these review requests? So far, I have simply not submitted a review because I'm not going to lie or give a bad one. But what do I say when they ask? All right, Pastor Charlene. What do I say? How do I make this review?
I'm not going to do it either. I will come to her and let them know personally. But I'm going to let you know that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not going to entertain that. So, therefore, just know that why I'm not reviewing. And if I'm your friend, I'm going to tell you the truth. You can't sing. Like, y'all tell me I can't sing. So, but I sing anyway. I don't care. But, you know, it's like, that's not your thing, baby, you know. So I will just let them know I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to entertain your lie. Because now if you start off that one, then it's going to start with the next one too, you know, the next book, the next CD. But I can sing. I don't care what y'all say.
All righty. Brother Al. How's this review going down?
Well, I'm going to have a talk with him. We're supposed to be friends, right? So I'm going to have a talk with him like, yo, why did you write this stuff? You know it's not true. And I don't want no parts of it. So please X me out. If you don't X me out, I'm going to tell the truth. So they come to me, hey, brother Al, you have any comments? No comments, sir. Thank you. So get me out of the situation or I'm telling the truth because I don't want to be around it. Because obviously you did it for sales. You had to make it a little juicier. So, no, get me out of it or I'm telling the truth. So you got a choice.
Okay. What about the friend who can't sing? How are you reviewing that CD?
Oh, no, I got to tell you. I can't make you let you go out there and make a fool of yourself. We friends. You know, you're supposed to be a friend. Don't use that word friend. Hey, listen, let me holler at you for a second. Listen, you know when I struggle to hit that note? So do you. Oh, listen. So listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You do like me and be a background singer and leave it be. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to go out there and make a fool of yourself. So I just want, as a friend, I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, my goodness gracious. He said, I do too. So do you. Oh, my goodness. All right, Cassie, how are we reviewing this book and CD?
Well, if we're really friends, you know, when we break down this word friends, if we're really friends, then this ain't no surprise to me that you want to be a writer and or a singer. So once I get a whiff of I'm putting this music out, what music out? Are you a DJ now? Or what side of the mixing board are you trying to be on? Oh, you know, I'm going to sing. No, you're not. Mm-mm, you're not. So I'm going to give you a review before the product is even ready, because before you waste your money on studio time and all of that, as your friend, my job is to save you from the agony, okay? Or I'm going to write this book. Now, girl, I had to check you on your Facebook post how many times? No, we're not going to do that. And you can't only have an audio book. So we're going to have to pray about another venture that God really has for you. Because I want to give the reviews, and I have to give the reviews before the product is ready. Because you're not going to like my input. You come to me with this, because I would expect that from you. We're friends. I would expect you to check me on that too. So please don't come to me. Don't call yourself surprising me, because if we're friends, God's gonna make sure we didn't had this conversation before you actually take the time to go sit and write that book, and before you travel to that studio, he gonna make sure that this conversation comes up to where you've already had the input put in on this. Just ain't your field. This ain't your industry, or that's not what you should do in this industry. So yeah, if you still push, you are even gonna come to me about the review after the podcast. I don't know if he gave you a review before.
All righty. Oh, there's one more, but we don't have time to. You know what? Let's go ahead and push it. Rip from the headlines. So me and my wife have gone to a cottage to try to work on our marriage. We have not huge issues, but issues. Nobody's cheated or gambled or anything like that. So she has a writing friend, and my wife is looking for a serious career in writing, and she is a great writer, but this is literally... All right, hold on a second. All right. Let me go back. Thanks for the sound check. Okay, so my wife is looking for a serious career in writing, and she is a great writer, but this is literally just for fun. She's never going to publish this gay, dark, borderline fan fiction she's writing. And she knows it. Okay, so we're away, you know, while we're away on this cottage trip, I tried to initiate with her that night, and she rejected me, which is fine because it happens, obviously, because, you know, people are not in the mood all the time. But then she just went right on her phone role-playing these guys in the book. I grabbed her phone and threw it out the window. The phone is fine. She has a good case, so I knew it would be fine and it wouldn't break. But she called her friends for them to do role play right when we're supposed to be trying to work on our relationship. This is a consistent problem. Every time I turn around, she's always on the phone with her friends working out these characters, working out how the book is going to go, and it wouldn't be that bad if she were actually going to publish the book. But considering that she's not going to publish the book, I don't feel she should have all the time be with this person. This is her love person on the phone. I don't think they're having an affair, but enough is enough. Brother Al, what say you?
All right, come back to me on that, because I didn't hear all of it. My phone went out. I heard some of it.
Okay. All right, Shanti, what say you?
Okay, so the wife is writing something, but she's always on the phone with this other person.
But the book, role playing the characters in the book, developing the characters with the friends. And they're away on this cottage trip to work on their marriage. And the whole time they're away, she's on the phone role playing the characters in the book as though she was really getting ready to publish this book. So they get to the night where he makes advances. She doesn't want to have sex with him, but he's okay with that. He said, because nobody's in the mood all the time. However, she didn't want to have sex with him, but immediately thereafter, she gets on the phone. She starts this role playing with the friend. So he took the phone, threw it out the window, but the phone didn't break. So should he have thrown the phone out the window? Should he have responded in that manner?
I'd have boiled the phone, put it in the oven, and fried it. people are bugged. So she was having phone sex while you sitting over there waiting for her to get off the phone. Who does this? There's no way. Already, once you tell me, you on the phone like y'all having a table read for a network script, this book ain't going nowhere. So what is all of this for? Y'all could have been at home. I'd have still felt the same way. But it does make it that much worse that y'all went away and with the intentions on fixing the marriage, and she's just showing you she's not interested in fixing no marriage. There's no interest. She'd rather have phone sex with her friend. So you might as well just cut your losses now, bro, and keep it moving, because that doesn't make any sense. That makes, and a woman spends time on the phone, because this was a male friend, right?
Yeah.
A woman spends time on the phone like that with a man that she's interested in. If I'm and I have nothing but male friends, way more male friends than female friends. When I'm with my man, and especially we away, I'm not talking to you. I don't care how close we are, how cool we are. I'm not talking to you. So if I'm dissing him for you, then yeah, I'm really interested in you, and I'm not interested in my man anymore. So she's really telling on herself without literally telling on herself. He might as well cut his losses and find another single woman out there in the cabins, because that marriage is a dub. Ain't no fixing that. She's not interested in fixing that.
All righty. Pastor Charlotte, what's your thought?
Did she say find another woman in the cabin?
Yeah. You right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Me. Well, since she liked the role, she wants to do a role play and all of that, I say that he write out a play and let's work it from here. Use me and we'll do it together. You don't need to be on the phone. Did he? Was it right? He threw it out. He was angry, so yes. I would have threw it out the window and just might did a little worse, just like Shanti said, with the phone. And she doesn't have interest, you know, because if you're there to work on your marriage and you allow someone else, why is the phone on, period? You know, so you want to work on that? Okay, I respect that. So let's work it together. I would be him, and you would be whoever the person is going to be. And then that way, you come in a part of in what's important to her as y'all play this role, and then you might get some as well. And you won't have to go to the other cabin.
All righty now. Oh, my goodness. All right, Brother Al, what you got?
First of all, she on the phone. I'd have tackled her to the ground. I would have threw the five, just tackled her like I was playing football. I'd have speared her and then ask her what you're doing. You want to play rock? Is this what we're doing? That relationship is done, like Shanti said. You know, you're supposed to be with me, and you breaking your neck to get on the phone with this guy and going back and forth. The relationship is done. I wouldn't even take you away. What am I going to waste my money for? You know, now the old me would have said, oh, you want to play rock? While you've been on the phone, I'd have been out there talking to somebody else. You just came in the house and you just saw me with somebody else. You'd have been like, oh, what happened? Nothing happened. Go on to talking.
You want to play rough? Okay, we'll play.
Wow. I knew this one would touch you, Brother Al, because you always talked about that phone.
You know, drive me nuts.
Of you, too. So I thought when I pulled that one up, I was like, oh, this one is right up Brother Al's alley. Thank you so much, my due time crew, for weighing in on all of this stuff here. And we pray you have a blessed day. Stick around. I have an announcement to make. All right?
Okay,
thank you
too.
So much.
Yes,
have a blessed day.
Thank you.
All of y'all do the same.
All righty. Let me get this benediction. I'm going back to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. All right. You know, we're talking about the father who, you know, had the meltdown because he had been working his son, you know, all year. All year he had been working his son to try to get him to pass this test, and he's put everything into this son and trying to, you know, get him to have these great results, only to find that he has gotten 6 right out of 100. Is it heartbreaking? Absolutely. However, you know, the writers and the people who responded to that website as well as our D-Time crew is exactly right. You know, sometimes we push too hard and, you know, it ends up backfiring. Sometimes, you know, we just have to let things be, you know, because we're not the one to tutor. You know, find him someone to tutor. And, you know, why would you wait all year to see the results? You know, what happens generally with tutors is they periodically test them to check the progress. So, you know, that would have been another way. You wouldn't have gotten your heart broken had you tested periodically. And if you weren't pressing him so hard and you made it more fun, then maybe you would have had different results. Also, like, you know, it has been said, he needs rest. You know, and I agree, you know, as a parent, you know, that's not your thing. You know, doing homework is a task. Forget about the studying part. Just doing homework is a task. And, you know, you're fried and they're fried, and, you know, we don't know the approach that was taken or the amount of tolerance he had or whatever. So we have to consider those things, and maybe that's why the results just didn't come through the way you thought. We're talking about the mom who, you know, with the ex, and, you know, who made this child, and that what the lady said was absolutely right. You know, I can't even imagine. Now, what you choose to do on your own, how God moves your heart, is one thing. But man has, and I don't mean a man has no business with the expectation or putting their mouth on how you move forward when a person has cheated on you and now produced a child. Because everybody takes that much differently than the next one. And, you know, who are you to say that, you know, someone should or shouldn't? Would it have been nice? Absolutely. It would have been nice, you know, if God moved it on her heart. But clearly, you know, that expectation, that bar was set pretty high to expect her, you know, even in a nice a gesture, to say at least she could have. No, she didn't have to, because the average person, that would have severed the ties between even the son they shared. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just talking reality. You know, now you got a real battle on your hands. You didn't win. I got a kid. Now you made a kid out there. Oh, and the two shall never meet. So, you know, just kind of go with the flow of and pray for, you know, but your personal expectation, you know, cannot play here, you know, with how a person is hit emotionally. How do you know every time, you know, she looks at that child, it doesn't remind her of the hurt and pain that took place 5 years ago, then 6 years ago, then 7 years ago? We don't know. We don't know. And healing is between you and God. And it would be wonderful. But you know what? It happens. And, you know, we just pray that, you know, there's some healing that can be done, you know, when, you know, things like this happen. So we have this this other ex who just can't seem to get out of your life. You ain't got to worry about the kid because he ain't going nowhere. Well, I'm trying to figure out, which they never say, how in the world did the two men become so tight that you are now, you know, looking to partner up and help him so much? Why are you all concerned about how well he does? That ain't none of your business. That's none of your business how well he does. Now, we know they let him buy the van, despite the fact that we had already had plans with the van. We already let him buy the van. Now, we let him buy the van. Now, I got to sit and watch him in my driveway. So every time I go to and fro, I got to be reminded that he's here. Not only that, now you done came and took camp up in the house. Okay, so we all smoking drugs. Because something ain't right here. So I don't know. You know, I'm with Pastor Charlene on this one, you know, when she talks about the conspiracy theory, because I'm really trying to figure out how y'all got so tight where, you know, you care so much about him. I'm going to start wondering. Listen, strange things have happened. Okay, and we talk about, you know, the reviews. How do I review? And I agree with the Due Time crew that if you're a real friend, you're going to have to tell the truth. You know, we used to always talk American Idol when those people would go on and they would be horrific. You know, how do you let your people go out looking and sounding like this? And if you really love them, because that's the way we used to always say, you know, if somebody really loved them, they wouldn't be on the stage. So, you know, you got, for the sake of love, some friendship. Listen, I know you may not be happy with what I'm saying, but if you deem me a friend, before you put this book out, before you put that CD out, you know, maybe take, and you know, maybe there's a good vocal coach that could help you improve, you know, on your, you know, on your singing or whatever. Take some more writing classes, you know, find a way. But don't let your friend, if you really love your friend, don't let your friend go out like that. We're talking about throwing this phone out the window. You know, I'm not one for breaking people's things, but, you know, other people are. And I could definitely see this person being that upset that they take the phone and they just throw it. Because have I felt like throwing the phone that didn't belong to Stephanie? Did I feel like cracking you over the head? With that said phone, absolutely. However, maybe there's another way we can, you know, just come to the realization that, you know what, this is not for us. You're not interested. We're not going to waste any more time with this. Go ahead, you do you, I do me. You know, we'll just pray, and maybe, you know, we'll meet in the middle again. But I wouldn't have wasted my money either. You know, possibly, or maybe I would have, you know, to take this last trip maybe. But she would have had to leave the phone. That was the only way I would have taken that trip. You just had to have left the phone. That phone couldn't go with us. You know what? We have one mutual phone. Let's agree. We have one mutual phone. And if anybody wants to get in touch with us, then, you know, they reach out on this particular phone. But, you know, if we're talking about that, you know, just being, you know, out and doing what you normally do before, you know, before we even come to the trip, then that's going to be pretty pointless. So then the trip would be taken with some specifications. So, you know, again, I love to do this rip from the headlines because it allows us to see us in many different ways. You know, it may not be the exact same situation, but conceptually, is this you? And I think we all need to pay attention to these things. Are we doing these things in ways that we don't even realize that we are doing it? Well, one of the things I wanted to share, after I had an announcement, I have been sharing with you periodically, you know, our top five list, you know, countries that listen. And the top five have been United States, Cambodia, Nepal, Jamaica, and Canada. they have been our consistent for a minute now. Well, I have been telling you that, you know, for some reason, somebody must be speaking Cambodian because, you know, they have been creeping up and getting more and more listeners. Well, this morning, I want to share with you all that Cambodia has now taken the number one spot for its Due Time with Pastor Steph in the top five. United States is no longer our number one country. Our number one country is Cambodia, and we're not talking neck to neck. We're not talking about neck to neck. We're talking about a difference. There's a difference here between Cambodia and United States. The United States is our number two country. Now, like I said to you yesterday, I don't have a clue of what God is doing, but he's doing something. Because again, I told you before when I looked, Cambodia has its own site for us. Yeah, and you had to hit that translate button because I couldn't even read what it said. I can't read Cambodian, whatever they call their language, but they have a website specifically that has us on it. And I was like, wow. Well, even while we're now, Cambodia is number one. So, you know, this goes to show you that God is doing something. And I don't have what God is doing with his Due Time with Pastor Steph, but we, again, last night we took a surge, and it's the numbers are going up. Give God praise. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, that changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time as always, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Well, please, please don't miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior or to deepen your relationship with the Lord. Later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, Godspeed, where it's Freestyle Friday. Until then, I love you.